In 2009, I got injured and had to take time off work. While I was recovering, I had begun hanging out with two guys, Josh and Mike. The three of us spent a lot of time together, and we found ourselves up late nearly every night. We'd stop at Tom Hortons, where my girlfriend would give us drinks for free, and then we'd drive around the back roads in my pickup truck until we felt tired and decided to go home. Now, this had become our normal routine, and we had come to know these pony roads pretty well. One night, we got our drinks and started on our journey. This time, I decided to turn down Young Street until we hit Country Road 6 in Perkins Field, Ontario, and then head up to a small town called Wayville. We were driving along and joking about things. Mike was sitting in the front seat of the truck, and Josh was relaxing in the back seat. We were having a real good time when suddenly there was a thump. The truck shook as if something fell into the bed. I quickly glanced in the rear view as my two companions immediately looked into the back. These back roads are very dark, street lights very far apart. There are patches that get littered with debris from trees or passing farmers. My first guess was that I'd run over a large piece, a branch, rod, or something of that nature. Maybe I hadn't seen it. So I was just distracted by the clowns. That idea was torn away when I heard Josh exclaim, "The fuck? There's a guy back there!" The faint light from the moon and an eerie red glow from my back running lights revealed a large man sitting in the bed of my truck. He had somehow leapt into the bed as we were driving. That was ridiculous, though. I'd been driving over 80 kilometers an hour, and there was no way anyone could possibly make that kind of jump, yet there he was. Here this man, sitting back there in the dark. I couldn't make out any features, but he was huge, absolutely a giant, taking up most of the space in the truck bed. This only adds to the impossibility. How could a behemoth like that manage to time an unfeasible leap and account for his large frame to land in something as small as the bed of my truck? Straight up, not able to happen. How'd he get back there? I heard Mike summarize my thoughts in a whisper. I quickly glanced at Mike, who was sitting there with his mouth gaping as he tried to process this. I could feel Josh press against my seat, trying to stay as far back from the rear window as possible. I looked back at the road, but my eyes are drawn to the rear view. The colossal figure just stayed crouching with his massive back to us. The dim lights back there make it difficult to see what he's doing, but he seemed to just be sitting there, just watching the trees whip behind us. "What's this mammoth doing, man?" Josh asked in a low voice. "How would I know? Why don't you open up the window and ask him?" Mike retorted in a sarcastic fear. My mind doesn't have the ability to put together any sentences. My curiosity wants to know about this Leviathan. Who is he? How did he pull off that lunge? What's he planning to do now? That last thought pulls so much more fear out of the shock. What did he plan to do now? But we're on a rural stretch of road with an immense man crouched in the back. Was he just hitching a ride or something sinister? There was no way the three of us could take this guy. He'd swat us like flies. I jerked the wheel as soon as I feel the gravel, lost in the panic for a moment. I had almost taken us into a ditch. That giant planned to take us out. I'm not going to make it easy for him. I press harder on the pedal just to stay focused on the road, keep an eye on the mad behemoth in the back, but stay focused on where we're going. Suddenly there's an intense flash of red that lit up the interior of the truck. Twin gasps came from both Mike and Josh. My eyes flicker to the rear view. I can't see anything, just the red from my running lights shining over the road. So there's something off about them. Something I can't really put my fingers on. My eyes are darting between the road and the rear view. I can't seem to grasp what's odd about this. It's almost like the running lights have grown in intensity, as if the faint red glow has become more luminous. It now covers the road more widespread. That's not what's happening. My mind is playing tricks on me. I'm freaking out because there's a gargantuous maniac in the back of my truck and my mind is coming up with illusions. Why did the other two gasp? The giant turns his head again and the interior is lit up again by his bright, shining eyes. I turn around in my seat to get a better look. This is impossible, yet there he is, a gigantic man crouching in the bed of my truck with demonic red eyes lighting up everything they gaze on. "What the living hell," I choke out. "Bridge!" Mike screams. My body snaps forward and I see the bridge, now narrowly avoiding swerving off. I hear the tires screech and the bearings groan as I lurch us straight on the road. The red illumination tells me that the giant remains unwavered. I don't dare look at the rear view. The other two are keeping an eye on him. I know if I look back there, I'm going to be stuck gazing at this improbable beast in the back. He's getting closer to the window, Josh suddenly screeches from the back. I glance up from the road, and sure enough, there he was creeping closer to the rear window. The closer he gets, the more I can feel Josh pushing into my seat. What's he after? What the hell does he want? I have to throw him off. There has to be some way to get him out of the back. Why don't you call the cops? I yell, and I begin to make small, quick swerves to throw the assailant off balance. It wasn't deterring him. He presses forward with ease, fixed on us in the truck. He was so close to the rear window that those luminous eyes were lighting up the back seat in a sea of crimson. Mike desperately tries to get his cell phone to turn on. After several failed attempts, he grabs mine but is met with the same problem. Neither phone will turn on. This is like a living horror movie where the victims are doing everything they can to get help and trying to throw this lunatic off, but Murphy's Law kicks in to seal their fate. Fuck! Mike whips his phone onto the dash. What the fuck are we gonna do? I can hear Josh scrounging around in the back in the rear view. I can see him searching for something. My eyes are quickly peeled off from him when the giant taps the rear view very lightly. It was almost comical that his monstrous fingers would type so lightly on the glass, but the humor falls short with those red eyes glowing enough to show a maniacal smirk on the behemoth's face as we fall into panic. I use every ounce of willpower to tear my gaze from the rear view. This twisted behemoth is toying with us. We can't get the phones to work. We're in the middle of nowhere. Defeat falls heavily on me, and my mind begins to conjure images of what he would do to us. Eventually, I'm going to run out of gas, and then we'll be all over. I feel my foot start to back off the pedal as my resolve dissipates. That's when I see the sign. Wayville. 2 kilometers. In less than a minute, I would drive into Wayville. And that would bring illumination on this bastard in the back. This would also be the opportunity to turn towards town if I can keep myself rolling at this speed and keep that demonic freak in the back from bursting through my rear window. I'd be able to rush towards the police station and hopefully get some help. With my hope renewed, I press down on my accelerator and gun towards Wayville. My burst of speed must have surprised the giant because for the first time I saw the red glows waver. Ahead I could see that sign and that first streetlight. In 40 seconds I'd be there. I pushed down harder on the pedal, the engine giving a resounding stir. Suddenly, almost as if in a response, the colossal lunatic in the back lets out a roar. Not a sound that a human could make. This was a roar that would make even the mightiest lion seem like a yowling kitten. It was a roar of pure rage, quickly followed by 2 giant fists hitting the roof of the truck. I can hear the metal dent in, causing me to floor the pedal just a few more seconds. He hits the window with a heavy force, but it held. I could see the streetlight in front of me lit by that glorious light. In the rear view, I see a large web of brakes in the window. Suddenly, with another enraged roar, the giant leaps out of the back just as we cross into the brilliance of that streetlight. I slam on the brakes, and Mike's phone comes to life as if rejuvenated by the light. Josh and I both stare into the darkness behind us. Off to the side, I can see the red glow disappearing into the bushes. Mike is babbling on the phone to the dispatcher. Not much of it makes sense, I'm sure. I think that he's on some kind of lucid drug. Hell, I'd think he was demented as well if I hadn't just witnessed it firsthand. After several minutes, I finally turn back to the front of the truck and bask in the safety of the streetlights above us. Mike turns to me. They're dispatching an officer. I'm sure they'll take it a bit more seriously when they see the damage. I don't even care right now. I chuckle softly. Right now, I'm just glad that fucking thing's gone. Josh laughs nervously behind me, but in the rear view, I can see he's still searching. I shrug it off, just stare forward. The houses and businesses in front of me are comfort enough. We stay in a semi-relaxed mood for a while, letting the silence build. There's nothing really to say. Speculating what that was would just make us more uneasy. At the moment, we're just enjoying the fact that we're alive. Eventually, Josh gave up his search for a scrap of a giant. Pretty sure he's long gone. probably off terrorizing some other car.
Flash of red. Time stands still and the air drains from my lungs. He's back, he's coming, it's over! I lurch forward to pull the truck into drive when the corresponding flash of blue from the police car finally follows, a half instant later. I breathe a sigh of relief and I hear my companions do the same. I get out of the truck and speak to the officer.
The hell happened to your truck?
The officer says as he looks at the aftermath. Finally, having a moment to see the damage myself, I can see the back window nearly shattered. The roof of the truck has two large dents as if two logs fell from a great height. Those I had anticipated, but what took me by greater surprise was on the side of the truck, right at the edge of the bed from where the giant had leapt off, right there in the middle, with what seemed to be a giant grip mark. I stare at it in awe, and I turn to the officer and recount my version of the events. The officer seems very calm as he takes down my tale. He looks like he's heard all this before. Even after Mike and Josh give their versions, he seems to take it all very seriously. After handing me the report I need for the insurance, he starts walking away. My curiosity gets the better of me.
Why are you so calm about this? You believe us, right? Like, look at my truck. Something did this.
The officer looks at me with sincere eyes. I know something did this. I do believe you. You're the third one tonight who's told me a very similar story about a gigantic man. My heart sank. I let the officer go without another word. We got back into the truck and headed towards town. Along the way, I kept catching faint glances of red in the tree line. I didn't slow down. I kept to myself, although I'm fairly certain the other two saw it too. We just stayed quiet the whole way back to town, believing that we'd never speak of it again. No. We were wrong.